trade deadline in the NFL. What's going to happen today? There's a lot of big names that are on the block. So we'll see who may or may not move and how big of a difference it's going to make. And whether or not the Jets might be looking to move Le'Veon Bell, as there is a report. Or their head coach, Crazy Eyes, which I'll get into. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience into hour number two, which is wide open. And by wide open, I mean there are no interviews, just you, clones, just you and just me. And a What's Your Beef segment. You're running out of time. It's coming up this hour. It's coming up shortly. Get yourselves together. Hit me up on the phones right now. 1-800-636-8686. What's Your Beef? Can be anything at all. It can be with somebody. It can be with something. Call me right now with your beef. We do this Tuesdays and Thursdays. 1-800-636-8686. Tweet me your beef at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Again, can be anything at all. Sports or not sports related. Jungle or not jungle related. What is your beef? Back-to-back interviews coming up next hour, so you want to get through right now. Remember on Thursday of last week when Nate Diaz took to social media to announce, quote, "You're all on steroids, not me." Remember that? And then he dropped a notes screenshot declaring that he would not be in New York this week for one of the fights of the year because, quote, "They say I tested with elevated levels that they say might be from some tainted supplements. I call false on that cause. I only take whole food or natural food supplements. I don't even eat meat," end quote. He then proceeded to call out everybody other than himself. Quote, "So until UFC, USADA, or whoever is bleeping with me fixes it, I won't be competing. I'm not going to play their game or try to hide it or keep quiet as they suggested. I'm not going to have my name tainted as a cheater like these other mother bleepers who keep quiet until after the fight just so they can get paid. Bleeping cheaters." End quote. So Nate was suggesting that the powers that be told him to keep his mouth shut, the whole thing would go away, and then you preserve the fight and he'd get paid. He said, "Oh, hell no. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't cheat. I'm not going to keep my mouth shut. I'm not like all the other mother bleepers." Well, now we know what happened. Turns out he tested positive for LGD 4033, which was found in an organic, plant-based, vegan multivitamin. And according to Kevin Ioli, quote, "The science director of USADA sent a letter to the New York State Athletic Commission in which he said the amount of LGD 4033 in Diaz's system was roughly 10,000 times less than one therapeutic dose," end quote. In other words, it actually was a contaminated supplement, and the contamination was so tiny it didn't even matter. So Nate was cleared. Nate was right. And the fight versus Jorge Masvidal is back on. So I'm guessing when Nate got that news, his reaction was similar to when he dropped this legendary line in the cage.
"How's that feel?" "Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers."
So if you thought that that was going to make everything all right, that Nate got his name cleared and that he was good with that, you thought wrong. He put it another way.
"It's all just a big old bunch of bullshit."
It's just a big old bunch of bull bleep. Quote, "I thought it was all made up and a bunch of bull bleep. Anyway, it's behind us. Now we can move on." End of quote. Seems to me he's right and he's wrong. It was a bunch of bull bleep. Anyway, he's right about that. But somehow I doubt that this is behind us. It never is with Nate. At least I hope it never will be. I've said it before, I'll say it again. There is nobody like Nate Diaz. Time and time again, we've seen athletes come up with one explanation and one excuse after another when it comes to PEDs. Or they deny that they've taken them. And then they turn out to be lying. Not Nate. Not Nate. He denied it, and he was right. The guy tweeted, quote, "You're all on steroids, not me." And he was right about that. And he had a few more things he wanted to say about the entire situation. Like about how when he first heard about the test results, he thought that everybody was messing with him. So he decided he was having none of that, and he swung back.
How about the fight f***ing on? And let's let UFC and Masvidal and all these motherfuckers sweat, because I don't give a f*** about talking about steroids. You know what I'm saying? If you're on steroids, you don't want to talk about steroids. I've been around motherfuckers on steroids, and you start talking about steroids, they start looking the other directions and shit, you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. Man, I know what you're saying, and I love it. So Nate's like, I knew I didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, how about we just bleep off on this entire promotion? How about that? He said, I know guys who are on roids, and I know what happens when you're around guys who are on roids. When the topic comes up, they look the other way. They don't want to talk about it if you're on roids. So when they told me not to say anything, I wanted to talk about it because I'm not on roids, and this is about something more important than the money. Normally when somebody says it's not about the money, it's about one thing, the money. Except when Nate says it's not about the money, I believe Nate.
I don't care if it ruined your show. You ain't ruined my whole legacy. All I believe in the whole game is that, you know what I'm saying? I'm all natural. It's like if we was cavemen, I'd be the hardest caveman out there. You know what I'm saying?
Again, yes, Nate, I do know what you're saying. He just said, I don't care if I ruin your whole show. I don't care if I ruin your promotion. You're jerking with my legacy. You ain't ruining my whole legacy. All I believe in the whole game is that I'm all natural. If we were cavemen, I'd be the hardest caveman out there. Every time this guy opens his mouth, I like and respect him more. That is true, too, by the way. If they were all cavemen, Nate would be the hardest caveman out there. And it gets better, because in addition to having his name tied to a failed test, Nate was pissed because he had to send all of his supplements to USADA. They wanted all of his supplements. As Dan Wetzel tweeted, quote, Nate Diaz now complaining that USADA, quote, stole $700, $800 in supplements from me, end quote. This was so USADA could test it to see if it caused elevated levels of a banned substance. It did. Quote, I had to go buy all new vitamins. End quote. Note, he'll make millions at UFC 244. So awesome. They made him send them his vitamins so they could test him. And Nate's response was, they stole money from me. They stole $700 from me. Again, he will make millions on this fight this weekend, and he's upset that they stole $700 from him. Nothing better than Nate complaining that he had to go out and buy a bunch of new supplements and that those supplements are expensive. So great. Never change, Nate. Never, ever change. And the best thing is he won't. And if you think that being cleared to fight on Saturday means that he's going to dial back anything, you could not be more wrong. He was also asked if USADA told him which supplement was the one that came back contaminated.
Yeah, but I don't believe him anyway. It's just a whole bunch of natural shit I use, and then, I don't know, conspiracy.
But stop right there. So he says, yes, they did tell me. But why would I believe them? They're trying to frame me anyway. Why would I believe anything they tell me, quote, it's a conspiracy? Look, I'm not sure what the conspiracy might be. Nate would argue that they're trying to keep him down and his brother. Nate would argue, I think, that they don't want anybody to get too big. So I'm not exactly sure what it is. Nate tries to spell it out, sort of, and he says it goes back to his interesting relationship with the UFC.
Every time after a fight, relationships change with the whole company, every fight. Now, what if I win this fight? They can't have a real motherfucker like me owning the whole shit, being harder, because too many people are going to hear it. And I ain't trying to bust nobody out, but I feel like they need some type of leverage over me to keep me from being the king of the whole shit.
It's absolutely amazing. Look, I don't know what's true and what's not in that statement, but I'm thinking he might already be king of the bleep, king of the whole bleep. Nate's argument is they're kind of trying to keep him down because if he wins, they're not going to be able to handle a guy being as real as he is and being the king of the whole bleep. But I'm here to argue that he may already be king of the whole bleep. I do know this. When Nate Diaz walks away, we're all going to miss this guy. Because there will never be another guy like Nate Diaz. Why do you think I play all these sound bites? Because I've never had Nate Diaz on this show. And I can't say how badly I want to have him on this show. And now, despite all of that, we still have a fight. A really good fight. So he's going to get in the cage for the BMF title. Really the one that matters most. BMF. Baddest mother bleeper. Nate and Masvidal. And just in case you had forgotten about Masvidal, he was getting in a workout yesterday in Tim's. Check this picture out if you're watching on CBS Sports Network. My man's on the elliptical in Tim's versus the guy who tweeted, "You're all on steroids, not me." Saturday night, Madison Square Garden, one of them is walking away with the BMF belt. In fact, I'm going to be in New York Saturday night. If I can get over there for that. Man, I'm so down for this. I don't care who he fights. I don't care where he fights. I don't care when he fights. Nate's got my money. I don't need to pay to see any event. I mean, I'm in the media, right? I just got to show up. I don't need to pay to see anything. But I'm going to go into my pocket to watch this guy fight every single time. In fact, I'd pay to see this guy do his shopping at Whole Foods. I'd pay to see this guy twist and burn blunts. I would pay to see this guy train for triathlons. Just put a camera on Nate. Follow Nate around all day long. And then tell me how much I owe you. Never mind fighting. Dude should stream his genius 24/7. I'm in. Nathan freaking Diaz, if you need him. All of that, that entire long-form rant, and I didn't even get into the fight itself. Because Nate's been so amazing outside the cage. So who you got, clones? Nathan or Jorge? West Coast or East Coast gangster? That's not me, that's them. That's how they bill it. The baddest West Coast gangster against the baddest East Coast gangster. Who you got? This has the makings of an awesome toe-to-toe entertaining brawl. Masvidal is a bad, bad cat. He is a bad dude with some serious knockout power. A legitimate street fighter against Nate, a dude who complains about fighters who do not come forward. Now, Nate has fought as a welterweight at times, but Masvidal lives there. So you think that might be an advantage. Odds makers like Masvidal. But then again, we're on a big stage, a really big stage. Nate has been on that big stage. Nate's come through on that stage. Nate's been in the spotlight against Conor twice. He hounded it like a boss. Jorge never has. So, can Masvidal handle that? I got a better question. Can Masvidal handle this? Because when you get Nate, you get... That's what comes along with it. You get Nate, you get his unbelievable ground game, you get his fighting genius, and you get... Can you see that coming, Masvidal? Do you care that this is coming? We're going to find out Saturday night in the Mecca who really is the baddest mother bleeper. I cannot wait. Can't wait. Have some. Have some more. It's going to be so good. So glad that fight's back on. Even if it was never off. Who you got? Nate or Masvidal? Jets are back in the news, and I will have that story for you a little bit later on. 1-800-636-8686. What I don't have are good phone calls for what's your beef? Come on, you have no beefs? I know you clones have beefs. Lots of beefs. Call now. If you want to go back to Richard Yergin, what a great conversation that was. Another one of those guys who's 23, who has got it figured out, has a much better perspective, not only than I would have ever had at 23, but I think better than what I have right now in my 50s. Could not have been more impressed with him. I've got Tom Verducci coming up in hour three, Colorado Avalanche head coach Jared Bednar. Also in hour number three. when it comes to keeping your small business and its valuable information safe. Dell Small Business Technology Advisors can recommend tailored security solutions such as servers, storage, networking. And right now, you can get up to 45% off select business computers with Intel Core processors. Running your own small business is a big challenge, but with the right partner, it is a whole lot easier. To speak with an advisor today, call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL. 877-BUY-DELL.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
You got beef? I need to hear it. Time for the What's Your Beef segment every Tuesday and Thursday. Call right now, 1-800-636-8686. If that beef is beefy enough, I'll put it on the air. If you want to tweet your beef, hit me at Jim Rome or Rome, R-O-M-E, at Habitate.com. What's your beef? Johnny Scabs tweets, my beef. Hot dogs come in a package of 10. Buns come in a package of 8. Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
That's good beef. So what do you do with the other two? Do you just cut them up? Or do you go with toast? Or do you slam them onto a hamburger bun that you have left over? What do you do with the last two dogs? Or do you double up before you run out of buns? Can you count? Can you do math? Can you do basic math? Does Johnny Scabs have a good point? Or is that a bad beef? Hey, Johnny, I got a better question. Exactly what's in a hot dog? Not where do you put that hot dog? What's in that hot dog? Drew in West LA. I've got a beef. With Jeopardy audience members clapping when a daily double is selected, randomly picking the daily double square takes no skill. All right, it's not bad. Avery Gwynn tweets, my beef is with drywall. Sincerely, guys named Kyle. And Mock Moda has a beef. Our beef is that Old Trapper doesn't have a pumpkin spice flavored jerky. Signed, all the wannabe hipster kooks who dress and act like Hawk.
Don't forget Mock Moda.
No, but they've got four amazing flavors, though. It's a 50-year-old company, man. They're not about fads and trends and being some kind of hipster wannabe. This email says, hi, Jim. You want to know what my beef is? Well, I pay monthly fees for streaming, satellite radio, and cable, and still cannot get CBS Sports Network here in Calgary. Therefore, I rarely get to see you, man candy. War Cable in Canada, getting its bleep together. War Lady Clones with Taste. Bella B.
War Lady Clones.
In Calgary. What's up, B? How you doing, B? Can you see me? That's man candy talking to you, B. Appreciate that, B. Stay on it. Bella B is about her cocktails. Bella B is about her man candy. Bella B is about Apple products. Bella B is about hockey.
You are Rome. Absolute man candy.
Rome, my beef is the SoCal residents that weren't born here. You bum-ass, non-SoCal OGs need to leave. You congest our highways, freeways. You make Disneyland impossible to go to. You litter our beaches. Burn pallets at our fire pits. You make house inventory very low. If you weren't born here, you need to leave. We can tell from your faces and bodies if you weren't born here. Beauty don't lie. John in Huntington Beach. Beauty don't lie. Ball don't lie. Beauty don't lie. That beauty don't lie. That beauty don't lie. That gut don't lie. You bum-ass non-SoCal OGs. Pretty good effort for you, John. That's John's beef.
Hey, John.
Hey, Rome. What's my beef? My beef is with you talking about people having crazy eyes. Yours, Rashe Caldwell. Mitch from Buffalo, 2015 vision. That used to be a thing back in the day. My man was the OG of crazy eyes. Romy, I got beef with Phil Collins back there in the XR4TI, not playing air drums on every segment intro. Twirl them sticks, brah. Goose in Wichita. That's a good beef. Twirl them sticks, brah.
It's lit.
Goose in Wichita, Warhawk, looking like he's part of the stoner jungle. You can't hide it. We all know you toke all day like the rest of us. Do you, Hawk?
What?
Hey, Romy, I think I would rather text my beef. Sincerely, the old gunslinger. Who sent that? Sheldon Tate. Nice try, Tate. I see what you did there, Tate. I think I would rather text my beef. I see you working, Tate. Come on, Sheldon. That's not what the sponsor had in mind. What's your beef? More on Twitter. Avery Gwynn is back again. My beef is with the bullies who took my barrel of monkeys, my jack set, and my 10 cents for lunch. Signed, Garrett Ritt. So now Ike was bullied? And they took his barrel of monkeys and his jacks? And his 10 cents for lunch. Mike D for three. I have a beef with my client's decision making. Last year he sits out and earns a $0 salary. This year he predictably underperforms with a crappy team, and now I have to bail him out. Signed, Le'Veon Bell's agent. Wouldn't Le'Veon Bell's agent know his own name? Jamie in Green Bay tweets, I've got beef with anyone starting with the Christmas nonsense already. Can we have Halloween and Thanksgiving first? Not bad. What's your beef? Let's see. Are there any callers that would work? Let's try Tennessee. Anthony in Tennessee. Anthony, what's your beef?
Hey, Rome, my beef is these ex-coaches that get fired because they can't beat the Patriots. Then they get on there on Sunday afternoon and try to tell us how to beat the Patriots. That's my beef.
It's a good job, Anthony. Well done. Well done. 1-800-636-8686. Hawk, do you like any of these other calls for what's your beef? All right, I think I'll walk off on that. If you did not make it in for What's Your Beef, we're going to run it back on Thursday. It's a good segment. Next time you want a protein snack, ditch the drinks, ditch the bars, grab a bag of Old Trapper beef jerky. It's tender, it's tasty, it's real beef. It's going to rock your craving for a snack that does satisfy. Make sure you ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? And we will bring that segment back on Thursday. When we come back, let's talk about the Jets. I had made reference to the fact that if I wanted to, I could do a Jets segment every single week, but I don't want to. But they pretty much are leaving me no choice. A Jets segment or a Jets take when we return. Tom Verducci next hour. Jared Bednar next hour. Right now, the sports update. Here it is. Not just any update, but an update anchored by...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
The Astros are looking to close out the Nationals. Game 6 tonight, Tom Verducci joins me next hour to talk about that matchup. Meantime, Sunday... Joe Flacco We talked about this yesterday. Joe Flacco took a run at the Broncos coaches for not taking any chances late in the game, and it certainly was an elite moment for Flacco.
We're now a 2-6 football team, and we're like afraid to go for it in a 2-minute drill. You know, like, who cares if you give the ball back to the guys with a minute and 40 seconds left? They obviously got the field goal anyway. And once again, we're a 2-6 football team, and it just feels like we're kind of afraid to lose a game. It's 3rd and 5 at the end of the game. You know, it's who cares if they have a timeout there at the end or not? You know, getting in field goal range isn't that tough. You know, so you're just putting your defense in these bad situations. And I just felt like, what do we have to lose? Like, why can't we be aggressive in some of these situations? That's kind of how I feel about a lot of the game today.
I'm not sure that I've ever respected that guy more, or at least in that moment, than I did when he said that. I mean, what quarterback says that? Hey! Hey, we're cowards. Hey, we're afraid. Hey.
I will. I'm going to.
Hey, it's not that hard. Let's get into field goal range. Let's win the game. Get the hell out of here. What do we got to lose? Hey.
Tackle him.
But then, strangely, yesterday, the Broncos announced that Joe Flacco would not be playing this week due to a neck injury. Hey.
Hey.
That's weird. Sure enough, the moment that that went down, people started to joke that Flacco suffered a hurt neck when he stuck it out on Sunday. Hey!
Hey!
Did you hurt your neck sticking it out? Hey!
Hey!
Did Vic Fangio order a hit on Flacco's neck after he said that Fangio was a coward? Hey!
Hey!
Cowards.
Scared cowards. Then Ian Rappaport reported this morning that Flacco is getting a second opinion on that neck, and that he may be out as long as 5 or 6 weeks. So I don't know exactly what happened or when it happened, but you got to admit, that's pretty weird timing. They come up short, he lays out the coaching staff, and now he's out 5 to 6, reportedly. Weird timing. You want some more weird timing? How about the timing of that ESPN report that Adam Gase is already in danger of losing his own locker room? I mean, what? So soon? You mean players are not loving the fact that they're 1-6 and they look like garbage, that they put garbage on film every single week? Players don't like that. Since when? Now, I have said this before, and I'm going to have to say it again right now. I could do a Jets take every Monday and talk about how bad they are and how Adam Gase really does not seem like he's got any idea what he's doing, that this is who they are. So why would I waste my time? I mean, that'd be like me telling you, or me doing a take on the sun rising every single morning. It's nothing new. We know it's going to happen. It's a waste of time. It's lazy. It's boring. Low-hanging fruit. Oh, the sun went up again. So in a way, I'm breaking my own code by doing a Jets take right here. But then again, if there is a report that a head coach is on the verge of losing the locker room in his first season, halfway through it, then that is something new. That's something different. Losing the locker room before Halloween in your first season would be a record-setting pace. The season started in September. October's not even over yet, and yet we're hearing a report that a first-year head coach may have already lost his team. I mean, that's some Usain Bolt stuff right there. You got to be working pretty hard and pretty fast to lose a team that quickly. Then again, if you lose to Jacksonville and you drop to 1-6, and your head coach's response is to passively, aggressively blame the players, then you probably would lose your locker room. Listen to Gase compare his team to Jacksonville's. He said, quote, "They obviously handled adversity a lot better than we did. We didn't really do anything we talked about in all three phases. We were poor and made a lot of mistakes," end quote. You mean that didn't fire guys up to play for crazy eyes? Players didn't hear the alleged offensive genius passively question their toughness and then immediately rally around him? Shocking. Hearing him pass the buck did not make his players say, "I'm going to lay it all on the line Sunday against the Dolphins because I want to get a win for Adam Gase in the Adam Gase revenge game." Hell no, they didn't. And they're not going to either. Here's Jamal Adams after that game. Does Jamal Adams sound like he's coming to the defense of his crazy-eyed coach?
I'm 1-6, man. I can't even count how many times. I mean, it's been 3 years, man. frustrated, man. That's all. I just want to win.
That's a dude who really wants to win. That's a guy, it's killing him that they're that embarrassing and that they're not competitive. But wait, there's more. Then there's the fact that Le'Veon Bell, who has been upbeat and has been a positive influence on that team, left without speaking to reporters on Sunday. And how about Leonard Williams, the Pro Bowl defensive lineman, who actually was banging the drum for staying upbeat and not quitting on the season? This guy just got traded to the Giants, one of the guys who's trying to get guys not to give up on the season. And then you got the fact that Sam Darnold appears to be trapped in some sort of weird injury vortex where every single week he has to deal with a new and more bizarre injury. And the fact that the offense is horrible and you've got the alleged mastermind dialing it all up. Then there was a stretch on Sunday where Darnold was sacked, hit, or contacted on 9 of 13 plays. Then there's the organizational decision and how they treated Kelechi Asemele, which probably is not going to win anybody over to the coach's side either. And now there is a new plot twist. Apparently the Jets are now open to trading Le'Veon Bell. Great job, everybody. Really great job. Go out and spend money in free agency. Get a guy like Bell. Never figure out how to use the guy or what he can do for you. And then say, ah, screw it. And then look to move him after 7 games. That's exactly what all the great, really well-run organizations do. That's textbook professional management. That's being detail-oriented. Then again, if you go back to earlier this year, you'll recall that Gase didn't want Bell in the first place, didn't want him at that price or something like that, but was not excited about having that guy. But the team goes out and gets him anyway and gives him a big fat contract, the kind of contract that's going to make him tough to trade. So for a minute, a really weird, brief minute, in the offseason, we actually were talking about how they're having a pretty good offseason. They seem like they even know what they're doing. I mean, is this the Jets we're talking about? They had their quarterback of the future. They were building around their quarterback of the future. Then they went out and they signed a franchise back. They had a plan. A plan. And then they dumped the front office right after the draft. You know, months after they fired the old head coach. Instead of cleaning house, they keep the GM, they hire Gase, they go through free agency and the draft, then they fire the GM. And that's why if you think getting rid of Gase would solve the problems, you're wrong. It's not as easy as that. Because there is that video of team CEO Christopher Johnson having a conversation with a Jets fan who drove from Alabama to Jacksonville for Sunday's game. And Johnson drops this bomb. The CEO on tape is captured saying, quote, yeah, well, hopefully the team will actually show up this week. End quote. Spoiler alert, they didn't. Double spoiler alert. You hired a coach who was fired by the Dolphins. What the hell did you expect? So crazy eyes is a problem. But this is bigger than crazy eyes. When the team CEO is telling fans on tape, hopefully the team will actually show up this week, then you've got yourself a big problem. That doesn't mean you stick with Gase any longer than you have to. But thinking that getting rid of him is going to make everything all right is pretty foolish. The team is 10-29 since Christopher Johnson took over. Some of that is on Crazy Eyes' watch, but all of that is on Johnson's watch. So let me recap quickly. You've got a first-year coach on the verge of losing the locker room, trading the big-time free agent that you just signed, and a team CEO shoving the team under oncoming buses on video. In other words, what you've got are the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Same as they ever were.
We're going to play meaningful games in the end of November and December. That's what we're going to do.
Meaningful games at the end of November and December. only for the right to draft number one overall, if in fact that guy's even there to make those calls. Yeah, I said I wouldn't do it. I said I could do it, but I said I wouldn't do it, but they left me no choice. I mean, how bad you have to be to get me to talk about you when you're that bad? You know how bad you have to be if you're the Dolphins or the Jets to get me to talk about that, because I'm not going to do it. It's too lazy. It's too easy. I could do it every single week. But if they're really bad and they're in the news, they leave me no choice. And they did it again. It's going to hurt you all a lot more than that hurts me. That doesn't hurt me at all. I'm just doing my job. But I'm trying not to talk about you. Why won't you let me? Looking ahead to hour number three now. Game six of the World Series. Who you got tonight? Now who do you have? Steven Strasburg has been filthy in the postseason. Justin Verlander is one of the greatest to ever do it. He's been great in the postseason, but not the World Series. Incredibly enough, JV has never won a World Series game. Or has a streak of losing consecutive World Series games. So what's going to happen? Is he going to change that narrative? Or is Strasburg going to continue with his? Pivotal game six, and if it goes to a game seven, you know anything can happen. But they got to get it to game seven. And you know Verlander badly wants to end that thing at home tonight. Tom Verducci is going to join me at 20 past next hour, and we'll talk about that then. Also next hour, about time to talk a little hockey. Colorado Avalanche hockey. Gase, you have any idea how deep in over your crazy eyes you have to be to lose your locker room in seven games as a first-year head coach, and especially as an offensive mastermind? Seven games in, he reportedly has already lost his team. That's not easy to do. Adam Schefter tweets, the Rams are trading cornerback Aqib Talib and a fifth-round pick to Miami for a future pick, per source. Pouring out for a key, but that's not surprising. There had been that speculation. The Rams need to clear space so they can get Jalen Ramsey's deal done. So Marcus Peters is out. Of course, he went pick six right after he was sent out. And now Talib is out. At least they sent him to a competitive team. So Talib and a fifth rounder to Miami for a future pick, per source. That according to Schefter. The Bengals benching Andy Dalton right before the trade deadline. All right, so we're coming right back. Hour number three.
Bench the salt.
1-800-636-8686. This is critical. Interviews back-to-back to end the third hour. Next segment is your only open segment. So if there's something you want to talk about or something you want to say or get off your chest, you better do it right now. You see those flashers got banned not only from the World Series but for life in Major League Baseball? I may get there. One of the all-time fashion faux pas. An NFL head coach rocking a visor with no lettuce on top. What's the point? I may get there. Stay tuned. Tom Verducci, Jared Bednar next hour, and your phone calls next.